This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump's call to arms. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino on this Wednesday, July 13th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The House committee investigating the January 6th attack says former President Trump spurred far-right groups to violence.
Video from inside the Uvalde Elementary School shows a police officer running from the classroom where a gunman killed 21.
Twitter sues Elon Musk to force him to buy the company while accusing him of trashing it.
And there's no doubt about it, Amazon clicks with shoppers on Prime Day or any other day.
It boils down to two things, convenience and low pricing. You know, I mean, you've heard all these criticisms about Amazon over the years, that it has destroyed the brick and mortar model of retailing that we, you know, all know from years ago.
Charles Passy of MarketWatch will be here in about 20 minutes with that story. House lawmakers accused Donald Trump of inciting a mob of followers to attack the Capitol on January 6, 2021, in a last-ditch bid to remain in power, fueled by a chaotic meeting with some of his most ardent supporters. Yesterday's three-hour hearing looked at links between right-wing militant groups, including the Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, and the QAnon internet conspiracy movement, with Trump and his allies. Stephen Ayers, who has pleaded guilty to a federal charge of participating in the attack on the Capitol, says he joined the march because he believed Trump's lie that the election had been stolen.
Everybody thought he was going to be coming down. You know, he said in his speech, you know, kind of like he's going to be there with us. So, I mean, I think I believed it.
As the hearing ended, committee vice chair Liz Cheney hinted at what's to come.
After our last hearing, President Trump tried to call a witness in our investigation, a witness you have not yet seen in these hearings.
Such communication raises the possibility Trump might have illegally tried to influence witness testimony. Security video published by two Texas news outlets show police officers retreating from the classroom where a gunman killed 19 students and two teachers at an elementary school in Uvalde. And the video, which was recorded in a hallway and obtained by the Austin American-Statesman and KVU-TV and edited to eliminate children screaming, shows the officers arriving at the school 3 minutes after the gunman was seen entering the school and walking down an empty hallway. While officers are waiting, one can be seen rubbing what appears to be sanitizer on his hands from a hall dispenser. The video provides the first view of law enforcement's response to what a Texas public safety official has called an abject failure. Mayor Don McLaughlin slammed the media for releasing the footage the way they did.
These families, they don't need to see. They need to see the video, but they don't need to see the gunman going in there. They don't need to listen to those gunshots.
But Uvalde resident Adam Martinez says he's not hearing what he needs to hear from the mayor about the police response.
He keeps trying to cover up for them, take their side, saying that they did a good job, they went in there twice, or they tried to go in there twice. Did anybody see them do a good job?
The American Statesman said it published the video to continue to bring to light what happened at Robb Elementary, which the families and friends of the Uvalde victims have long been asking for. As expected, Twitter is suing Elon Musk over the billionaire's attempt to walk away from his $44 billion takeover bid, seeking to force him to honor the terms of the deal. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The suit comes days after Musk moved to terminate the acquisition, saying the company hadn't provided the necessary data and information he needed to assess fake or spam accounts. Twitter says it has bent over backwards to provide Musk the information he's requested and is suing Musk to enforce consummation of the merger. The company also said Musk repeatedly breached the terms of the agreement, such as by tweeting in May that the deal was on hold. Twitter claims Musk had a change of heart as soon as market conditions soured, resulting in his personal wealth declining by more than $100 billion from its November 2021 peak. The social media company also says Musk has put the company in financial jeopardy. Jen?
Thanks, Mike. According to corporate law experts, Twitter appears to be on sound legal footing, but the bigger question is whether Twitter could force the billionaire to buy a company he does not want to own. Coming up, hopes fading for a COVID reprieve.
Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Start your day smarter. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino. As much as we'd hope for a reprieve from COVID, it's just not going away. More from this morning's Jim Chesko.
We're not done with COVID yet. There's another new subvariant spreading. Let's talk about it with the Wall Street Journal's John Kemp. John, what's this new variant and how bad is it expected to be?
Well, this one is a subvariant of Omicron, which, of course, is the version of the virus that hit late last year and caused a big spike in cases. And this one is called BA5. And it's really the latest in a long string of Omicron subvariants. And what we've been kind of seeing with these is that they're very adept at causing infections, even in people who have been vaccinated or those who were previously sick with COVID-19. And a real differentiator with BA5, or a way in which it appears to be, you know, sort of an amped up version versus what we've seen before, is that it appears to be particularly adept at causing reinfections.
So, John, how prevalent is BA5? How many people are getting it? What percentage are we talking about?
So the very latest estimate from the CDC suggests that BA5 represents roughly 2 out of every 3 recent cases in the U.S. So it's been kind of building for the last couple of months, and it has really now become the dominant strain here in the U.S.
How sick are people getting from it? Any differences from, you know, that compared to previous versions?
That's a really good question, and thus far, I'm not aware of evidence to suggest that there's really much of a difference beyond, you know, the really typical COVID-19 symptoms that people feel. You know, for many people, it's, you know, cold and flu-like symptoms, as we know. We also know that COVID-19 can be a pretty rangy disease, so experiences may vary quite a bit.
At-home testing, of course, is a good thing, but it's also, I guess, causing the numbers to potentially be way off, maybe?
That's exactly right. So at-home testing is in some ways a double-edged sword from a data tracking perspective. It gives individuals tools that they didn't have before to check their own status really rapidly and to check their families. And I should add, by the way, you know, public health officials really want people to use these tests, which they can get from the federal government, to check themselves before they go to gatherings or before they get together with a vulnerable person, just to make sure or to try and add some insurance that, you know, you aren't spreading COVID-19 or going into a situation where, you know, other people have it, et cetera. So that's the plus side of what these tests can offer. But the other side is that they're very difficult for public health departments to track. When it used to be that you were going to like a mass testing site to get a PCR test, you were generating more data for public health departments. So what that means is that the CDC right now is showing that there's roughly 100,000 known new cases a day of COVID-19. And that's been steady for several weeks, more or less.
Will there be another big push again this fall for people to get vaccinated or boosted? And, you know, are they working on new vaccines that will be more inclusive of all these subvariants?
Right now, public health officials are urging people to get boosters. So there will be a push in the fall, certainly, but that doesn't mean there isn't a push right now. One of the concerns, in fact, that White House, or I should say Biden administration health officials talked about, is that among the people they really would like to get boosted, you know, older Americans, the adoption rate for like second booster shots hasn't been very high. And they don't want people to wait for a second shot. Dr. Fauci said that would not, you know, getting one now would not preclude someone from being able to get one in the fall. Now, to your question of what might be available in the fall, yes, the vaccine makers are working on versions that might be available and would be a bit more tailored to Omicron, essentially. And, you know, there's hope for updated boosters that could target the Omicron subvariant.
Thanks. John Camp of the Wall Street Journal with this morning's Jim Chesko. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The video totals an hour and 22 minutes long, and it is the complete surveillance footage from a Uvalde elementary school the day a gunman killed 19 kids and two teachers. The video leaked by an Austin newspaper shows the shooter enter a classroom at 11:33 a.m. Bursts of gunfire follow. School kids' screams are edited out of the footage. 77 minutes later, police enter the classroom and kill the gunman. Nearly 1 hour into the massacre, one officer is seen crossing a hallway to get hand sanitizer from a wall-mounted dispenser.
Number two.
The House panel investigating the January 6th Capitol riot convened Tuesday to examine how far former President Donald Trump and his allies wanted to go to keep him in the White House. One focal point was a December 18th meeting that devolved into a screaming match as Trump allies devised plans to overturn the election. Former White House lawyer Pat Cipollone described his reaction to one idea.
To have the federal government seize voting machines, that's a terrible idea for the country. That's not how we do things in the United States. There's no legal authority to do that.
After that meeting, Trump sent out a tweet that the committee called a siren call for his supporters as he encouraged them to come to D.C.
Number three.
This morning, the Labor Department will release its monthly report on inflation. The yearly increase in consumer prices is expected to climb even higher, up to 8.8%. That would be the highest inflation rate in 41 years. Mexico has committed to contribute $1.5 billion to a joint initiative with the U.S. to improve infrastructure along the nation's shared border. That agreement came out of yesterday's Oval Office meeting between President Biden and his Mexican counterpart. The infrastructure project is intended to improve processing and security along the border. And the nominees are in for this year's Emmy Awards. Leading the way is the HBO drama Succession, which earned 25 nods, including one for Best Drama. The most nominations for a comedy goes to Ted Lasso, which scored 20, including one for Jason Sudeikis as top lead actor. Stranger Things brought in 13 nominations, including Best Drama. Its actors got snubbed. And some history for Squid Game, which became the first non-English drama to earn an Emmy nomination. It earned 14.
And a snub for This Is Us, the best show that's ever been on television.
None.
I
really?
Know. None. Wow. Zero. And that, man, that's the best show ever. Oh, well. Thanks, Dom. Coming up, why we love Amazon so very much.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Well, Amazon has certainly faced its share of criticism, but it's also changed the face of retailing by offering convenience and competitive pricing. So says Charles Passy, who's written about his experiences using the e-commerce giant for MarketWatch and joins us now. Charles, what do you like best about Amazon?
Well, as I say, it boils down to two things, convenience and low pricing. You know, I mean, you've heard all these criticisms about Amazon over the years, that it has destroyed the brick and mortar model of retailing that we, you know, all know from years ago, that it doesn't treat its employees fairly, although Amazon keeps saying it's trying to address that. So, and there are just a myriad of criticisms about Amazon. But, you know, basically, it occurred to me a few weeks ago, I was shopping. I needed to get some vitamin pills that my doctor had recommended. And I'm sitting, you know, standing there in the vitamin aisle at my local pharmacy, and I'm just completely lost because it was a very odd bottle he had recommended, my doctor had recommended. And I'm kind of combing through the store, and I'm like, where is this? I can't find it. I can't find an employee to help me. And I was like, oh, I bet that's on Amazon. And, of course, it was. And because I'm an Amazon Prime member, when I ordered it, I knew I would get it within 2 days. Actually, sometimes my Amazon Prime orders arrive within a day. And it was there. And I realized not only did I get it quickly and it was easy to track, but it was probably way less than I would have paid at the pharmacy. And in a nutshell, it sort of dawned on me that that is Amazon. That is the power of what e-commerce is.
We're speaking with Charles Passy of MarketWatch. Now, you mentioned a couple of criticisms, whether it's, you know, workers getting hurt or too much packaging or whatever. Have some of those criticisms subsided, and how do you think Amazon has responded to the criticisms?
Well, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say that they've really subsided. They're kind of like this permanent buzz in the background with Amazon. I mean, it has Amazon has addressed certain things. You know, it's pledged to cut employee accidents by half by 2025, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. Amazon has also tried, you know, it's done sort of the playbook that a lot of big corporations do. It's tried to up its philanthropic presence. It has a $2 billion program to preserve or build affordable housing. So, I mean, it's doing the sort of things that companies do that are often kind of under a lot of scrutiny. You know, I think those things kind of resonate a little bit, but something tells me that Amazon, the criticism at Amazon, is not going to go away anytime soon. But in the meanwhile, as I said, people vote with their wallets. I don't think the criticisms have risen anywhere near a level where people are saying, I mean, yes, I know a few people who boycott Amazon, just a few people. But I don't think the criticisms have risen to any kind of level where people are not going to shop at Amazon. If anything, Amazon just keeps doubling down on what makes it such an attractive place to shop or to be a part of your life.
And sort of like icing on top of the cake, this Prime Video streaming service has been incredibly successful as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mentioned in the column, I said, you know, I mean, one of my favorite streaming programs of the last few years, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I can thank Amazon for that. It occurred to me in just researching for this column, you know, as a Prime member, there are like 13 things I'm not taking advantage of, which I hadn't even realized.
Thanks, Charles. Charles Passy of MarketWatch. It's coming up on 30 Minutes Past the Hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
On this Wednesday, July 13th, Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. Some of our top stories and headlines. Former President Trump sent a rallying call to his supporters before the Capitol riot. Uvalde school shooting surveillance video fuels scrutiny over a delayed law enforcement response. Two are dead after a small boat overturns in the Hudson River off New York City. Squid Game makes history as the first non-English series nominated for Outstanding Drama Emmy. And 4,000 beagles are looking for their forever homes. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell's Black Friday and July sale is here with savings on top-rated business computers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. As President Biden heads to the Middle East for his first in-person meeting with Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, he could use some help with gas prices, but he may not be in a position to ask for favors. More from Maureen Grappi, White House correspondent for USA Today. Maureen, this trip has stirred up a lot of controversy for the president. Why is that?
Well, he said when he was campaigning for the presidency that he was going to make Saudi Arabia the pariah that they are for various human rights abuses, particularly the killing of a Washington Post columnist that U.S. officials believe was ordered by Saudi Arabia's crown prince. He also promised to put human rights at the center of his foreign policy. The Biden administration has said that they have responded, taken actions in response to what they believe to Khashoggi's killing, the killing of the columnist, but that they need to, they can't just not deal with Saudi Arabia altogether. They are resetting the relationship with the kingdom.
Is anybody in the U.S. pleased that Biden is making this trip?
Yes, there are people who say that this is the smart thing to do, that the administration can continue to push on human rights issues, but it was never tenable to have no contact with Saudi Arabia, to make them, you know, a pariah indefinitely, that we need to engage leaders, even if we don't agree with everything that they do, that's the only way that you can make progress on things.
Maureen, what does President Biden hope to get out of this trip?
Well, what he's emphasizing, he has downplayed the gas prices angle, and the administration has said that OPEC is already starting to increase production, or they made a decision on that earlier. And it's possible that there could be a little bit more of that to come in the fall. But what they're emphasizing is that there are greater issues, larger issues beyond that will be the topic here. One of those is a security for the region, trying to improve integration of Israel with its Arab neighbors to ease tensions, as well as to have them band together on security issues against Iran, which continues to pose a potential nuclear threat.
We're speaking with Maureen Grappi, White House correspondent from USA Today. You talk about Israel and President Biden facing kind of the same delicate balance in his visit there. Some are liking this idea and some are not.
Right. That's always a problem for the United States with Israel, because Israel is such a staunch ally of the United States, and yet the United States has championed a two-state solution, giving the Palestinians their own country, and has tried to help with the improve the Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. But that's also always a balancing act, because I said we have such a strong alliance with Israel. And Biden hasn't really done that much so far to pressure Israel on this issue. But what he has done is try to repair, to rebuild ties with the Palestinians, which they say were essentially severed during the Trump administration.
A successful trip then might be to make some moves to improve our relationship in the Middle East, especially between Israel and Saudi Arabia, right?
That's right. That's one thing that we're looking for, is that Israel really wants to establish a relationship with Saudi Arabia. They have no diplomatic relationship right now. Israel reached such an arrangement with four other Arab nations during the Trump administration, what was known as the Abraham Accords. And we're not expecting something similar on this trip between Israel and Saudi Arabia. What officials are talking about is laying the groundwork, taking small steps towards that, and then eventually down the road we might see that happen.
Maureen, often with these trips there's some news that comes out, some kind of a a weapons agreement or some kind of, you know, trade or something like that, something that is not major news, but something that is tangible. Do we expect any kind of announcements of any kind between any of these countries in the U.S.?
Well, we expect the administration to announce some humanitarian assistance for hospitals in East Jerusalem that treat the Palestinians. We could see some announcements on various security issues, and we might see some announcements on some issues related to Israel and Saudi Arabia that, again, would be small steps, but not that big establishment of diplomatic ties that's further down the road. For example, there might be an agreement between the two countries that Israel could have some flights fly over Saudi Arabia airspace, or, in fact, have some flights that originate in Israel go to Saudi Arabia carrying Muslims who want to make the annual pilgrimage to Muslims' most sacred sites of Islam in Saudi Arabia.
Thanks, Maureen. Maureen Grappi, White House correspondent for USA Today.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Cimino. A reminder to follow us on social media, including our newly updated Instagram page. We're at This Morning with Gordon Deal. Time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, with crowded airports and full airplanes this summer, we're bumping up against each other more than ever, leading to the occasional sticky situation. One such incident intrigued users on Reddit. In the viral post, a man says he booked a window seat for his flight from New York to London, but when he boarded, he found that a mom had put one of her two children in the seat instead, so they could all sit in the same row instead of across the aisle from each other. Instead of letting the family stay together, the man asked a mom to move her child from his seat, saying that he bought the window seat specifically so he could sleep on the flight. The man claims the mom then caused a scene, even got a flight attendant involved, but since the man had booked the seat, there was nothing that it could be done for her. She then glared heavily at the man as she removed her child from his seat. Now, most people agreed with the man's stance, saying that the mom wasn't necessarily in the wrong for asking for the seat change, but was definitely in the wrong for her reaction, especially since her child would be located literally across the aisle from where she was sitting, not in some other remote area of the plane.
This is a tough one.
Really? You might agree with her to some degree?
Well, I mean,
it would be nice if he—it would be nice if he did it for sure.
Yes, it's crazy that the airlines separate families. I mean, to begin with.
Yeah, well,
unless it can be helped.
Right. Well, I guess people were asking too because you know these days you know you're asked to sort of choose your seats in advance. It's possible she maybe kind of you know rolled the dice and didn't necessarily choose her seats beforehand. Maybe tried to save a little bit of money.
That's a good question.
You know, so I mean, if you really want to be seated with your kids, unfortunately, you might have to pay that those extra.
That's what we need to know.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need more information on this to decide who's right and wrong.
But man, there's nothing worse than trying to sleep on an overnight flight when you don't have a window seat.
Yes.
You can't sleep.
Right.
It's the worst.
Yeah, that is true. Mm. And speaking of travel, here's something to avoid while you're seeing the sights this summer. A 23-year-old tourist from Maryland miraculously survived a fall into the Mount Vesuvius crater in Italy. The incident occurred after the man and two of his relatives wandered off trail for a chance to take better photos. According to officials at the site, the group broke all kinds of rules to put themselves in harm's way, including neglecting to follow guidelines and scale the volcano with proper safety precautions. They also didn't even pay for tickets, which are required to limit the number of hikers on the trail, and they took a prohibited path after departing the nearby town. Then when they got to the top, the man tried taking a selfie and dropped his phone into the crater, later leading to him falling, thankfully only a few meters before stopping his descent. It could have been much worse, with a fall of 1,000 feet or more possible.
People follow the rules.
I mean,
what is so hard about that?
I mean, a massive crater and the sign says don't go any further than this sign. I'm going to listen to that sign.
Yeah, when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's usually people taking a selfie that wind up falling too. Don't take selfies in front of big craters,
yeah,
please.
No need. Take it from the front. Thanks, Mike.
Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Cimino. Yes, even a little bit of exercise, only on the weekends, is beneficial. According to a new study published in JAMA Internal Medicine, weekend warriors can still stave off disease, and even if they're packing their workouts into a couple of days. The study found that people who are physically active, whether that's on weekends only or more often, have lower mortality rates than inactive people. There wasn't a big difference in mortality between those who exercise regularly and weekend warriors, as long as they were getting the same amount of moderate to vigorous physical activity in a week, which is a recommendation of about 150 minutes. The results could help public health officials promote physical activity, even among busy people, and support the idea that every minute of physical activity counts. The study, though, did not account for sleep, injury, or mental health impacts of regular daily exercise, so it's important to keep that in mind. A big part of many aspects of health is getting good sleep. It's 8 minutes before the hour. Here's Dom Cimino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The House January 6th Committee has held another public hearing outlining the role of far-right extremist groups in the violence at the Capitol. The committee heard testimony from Jason Van Tattenhove, former spokesman for one of those groups, the Oath Keepers. He said messaging from Trump and his allies ahead of January 6th led the group to believe it was time for action.
There was a gallows set up in front of the Capitol. This could have been the spark that started a new civil war, and no one would have won there. That would have been good for no one.
The committee also heard from an Ohio man who's pled guilty to participating in the riot. That man told the committee he regrets being duped by former President Trump's false claims of election fraud.
Number two.
The complete surveillance tape from a hallway inside a Uvalde elementary school has been leaked. It includes 82 minutes of footage as a gunman enters a classroom and kills 21 people. Several bursts of gunfire are heard but not seen. It also shows law enforcement slowly gathering in the hallway over a 77-minute span before finally breaching and killing the shooter. Today there's some outrage in Uvalde that the video was leaked without warning for the families of those killed.
Number three.
The Justice Department has launched a task force aimed at identifying ways to protect reproductive rights after the Supreme Court struck down the federal right to abortion. The Reproductive Rights Task Force says it will monitor state legislation that infringes on federal protections related to reproductive health, including any local actions seeking to ban abortion drugs. Investigations continue into a string of robberies at 7-Eleven convenience stores in Southern California. Police are still searching for the suspected gunman, who allegedly killed two people and wounded three more. That said, officials believe the six robberies that took place early Monday morning are connected. For the second night, 7-Eleven stores were closed across the Los Angeles area. And the gifts from outer space keep coming. NASA has released the first full batch of images taken by the James Webb Space Telescope. The photos provide a colorful look at galaxies many trillions of miles away. Project scientist Jane Rigby described just how old those galaxies are.
We're seeing them as they looked back in time, right? The speed of light is only so fast. And so as we're seeing distant galaxies out in space, we're seeing them as they looked billions of years ago. So these cluster galaxies, the white ones, we're seeing as they looked about the time the sun and the Earth formed.
The telescope also captured data from a distant planet outside our solar system. It's the first step in guiding scientists as they search for life beyond.
I've seen a lot of people jazzed up about these pictures. They're pretty amazing.
Remarkable. Billions of years ago, right?
It's scary. I don't comprehend it. I don't know. Thanks, Tom. Coming up, mobilizing to save 4,000 beagles.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Looking to adopt a beagle? There are thousands available after they were rescued from a dog breeding facility in Virginia. The Humane Society says about 4,000 beagles will be removed from Envigo, a medical contract breeding facility that's been accused of having unfit conditions. Envigo's facility in Cumberland was taken to court in 2021 after the USDA and other law enforcement agencies found multiple federal violations. In a complaint in a district court in Virginia, adult and puppies were said to be underfed, injured, and sick. The complaint also alleges the dogs received inadequate medical care and were subject to painful medical science experiments. Homeward Trails Animal Rescue, a nonprofit animal welfare group in Fairfax Station, Virginia, is one shelter that's now taking in some of the rescued beagles. The group previously rescued 475 of them from the facility. This time around, they'll facilitate the transfer of another 1,500 beagles to partner organizations. That'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Jennifer Kashinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.